Italian Wine Podcast. Chin Chin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is Antonio Capaldo. Antonio is the chairman of Fiudi San Gregorio.
Hello, Monty.
How are you doing?
Good.
So you're one of the great talkers, so I'm just going to wind you up and then let you spin. How did you get into wine? What did you study at university?
I actually don't come from a wine family. So I studied economics, and then I worked in international finance, and then in consulting.
But international finance for charities and things like that, yeah?
And
development,
that,
yeah?
After that. Okay. Before I was in the dark side. So I was in banking before, in Lazare Bank in Paris. Then I got into McKinsey, the consulting firm, and then I did my thesis on microcredit. So I was in the charity finance. And then I got back to family, no? To the family business and to the winery that was created in 86.
This is Fiudi di San Gregorio.
Fiudi di San Gregorio was created by my dad and my uncle. And then the family progressively, no member of the family was involved in the daily operation. So I got in and it was a big change in my life. And all the things I learned before, they were 95% useless to run a real business. So that's intriguing.
But did you always secretly want to do this?
Very secretly, probably. No, I didn't know that. I actually joined the winery when I was 32, and I think I started thinking about it when I was 27, 28, not before. For sure not before. I was not even drinking that much. So then I got into this, I did my sommelier classes, I studied. I don't have a winemaker background, and I never have, but I studied before joining, and then I just got in, and luckily I have a very strong staff inside, and I created a staff that is very strong on the viticultural and winemaking part, where I'm a little bit less, of course, knowledgeable. And
so how did you change that? Was that difficult, getting people in that you wanted? What do you look for someone that's working in the vineyard or the winery? Loyalty, ability, commitment?
Well, loyalty is a very nice word, but for me, it's not particularly important. Loyalty goes where there is leadership and there is a serious behavior by the company. So loyalty, you need to gain that. So it's relatively easy to gain loyalty and trust if you behave correctly. So the most important thing was competence, and competence that go in a winery that was created in 86 by a family that had no winemaking experience before, was bringing the best expertise from outside, but being able to adjust to a local place where people that grew up in the area, they knew how to make the wine, but they didn't know how to explain it. So in a way, we needed to put together a team where we had experts from other regions, or anyway, from with long-standing expertise, with people who had an intuition about what should be done in the vineyards, because they've been doing that forever, but they didn't know how to explain it or to systematize this. So we have it now. We have a staff of five people in the vineyards, six, three of them are from Irpinia, so from the hometown where the winery is located. The other three come, one from Friuli, one from Tuscany, and another one from Friuli. And in the winemaking team is the same. We have internal winemakers that are all from the area, but then we also always have two or three consultants. They don't make the wine, they just give an outside perspective, because we're all a little bit self-made, and sometimes I think it's a limit to some Italian areas, and our area for sure, is that we tend to be a little bit too self-referenced. I mean, I don't know how you say
self-regarding.
That, self-regarding, correct. So we just say, we've been doing this forever, this is the way to do it. But in our area, we definitely need to break the past and do much better. We can do much better.
Yeah, because there's always this perception of the South, this romantic perception of it, and also the kind of slightly careless attitude sometimes to precision in the winery or things like that, as well as obviously local issues, social issues, things like that. And then there's the other side that you see of the South, where you really find wines that are completely and utterly unique and that are just brilliant, that are just world-class, that cost really relatively little. So how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself a little bit in the middle of that tradition, maybe making wines that are of limited international interest, or the very sort of modern style wines that have universal appeal? You want to be somewhere a little bit in the middle?
We try to. I mean, tradition is something you live every day. Now, in our area, we have vines that have 200 years. So Prefilosera varietals have been there for 2,000 years, but you shouldn't sit on that. So we definitely in all our winemaking choices, in the communication, in the marketing, in everything, we try to be more innovative and modern. but keeping the tradition in the middle of our thinking. So in a way, we are in the middle of the of the of the dilemma that you were posing. But I think you can match the two. You can combine the two. I think this tradition that we all live. Every grandfather was making wine. My grandfather was making a very horrible wine in the area, like vinegar. And but we capitalize on that because wine has been in our life forever. But still, when we started, we released the white wines before Christmas. That's of the same harvest. That's impossible. So we were the first one to push this until April or May the following year to allow all the wine to express. So these are things that I don't think it's too modern. It's just the more correct way to treat the importance of your tradition. So that's where I stand.
Yeah, common sense. Yeah. How do you see markets developing both in Italy and abroad for wines from southern Italy or Italy in general?
In Italy in general, the consumption is becoming increasingly regional. So in Campania, for instance, we grow every year, surprisingly, because in Campania we've been in crisis forever. And Naples has been in crisis since I was born 40 years ago. But still, we are able to increase consumption because we are gaining market share versus other regions. And conversely, we are losing a little bit of consumption in regions where the wines are increasingly important, the local production, like Lazio, like Lombardia, like Emilia Romagna, where nobody was making wine 20 years ago, and now there are interesting wineries. So I believe this the trend is not easy to analyze with just one word, but we are growing in our local areas, and we're also growing as more the top brands are growing, because the Italian is concentrating, because there has been too many people making wine, there has been too many people trying to sell the wine, and the crisis helped, at least in this regard, to concentrate also towards the largest
brands.
Streamline
a bit.
So honestly, the Italian market over the past 5 years has been a growth for us. On the foreign markets, our category is super small, but we benefit from the great curiosity that, for instance, in the US, increasingly in Asia, in UK, the sommelier community is having, and even the top customers. So honestly, there is a continuous growth, but the category is very tiny, and I believe that we will remain, and it's great and it's nice, a niche product for people who are curious. And we need, the problem is that they're curious one time, so then you have to deliver, otherwise they're curious of something else. So it's always difficult to match expectations. When a person is curious, you need to be high standing.
So when you say a niche or a nicchia in Italian,
nicchia, correct.
Do you mean like a sort of Italian wine made from native grape varieties, or just Italian wine in general?
No, I think our niche is because of the varietals, because the categories are varietals or regions in the world. And the Aglianico is planted, I think the surface of Sangiovese is 10,000 times bigger than the surface of Aglianico, just to make an example. So they're niche by definition. Greco di Tufo,
which is a white wine grape, Aglianico, red wine grape, obviously.
Correct.
Yeah. You make a Taurasi.
Yeah, Taurasi is the DOCG made of Aglianico, like Barolo is made of Nebbiolo. No, it's the same relationship. Greco di Tufo DOCG, which is a white, one of the most credible and intriguing white wines that we do in Italy. And I'm a partisan there, but
and that means Greco from the village of Tufo.
Correct. Greco is the grape, and Tufo is the Greco is a grape that you find in other places. But the result is not the same, because Tufo is an incredible chalky soil area. Greco di Tufo is less than 1,000 hectare DOCG.
Yeah,
so
tiny.
What can you do about it? Italian are used to drink it, so first of all, domestic market, so there is little that goes abroad.
Fiano, do you make a Fiano?
Yeah, we make Fiano di Avellino. Fiano is the grape, Avellino is the city, and both together, Fiano di Avellino is a DOCG, and we make it, and Fiano is a 600 or 700 hectares, so it's tiny. And
yeah,
we are the only area in Italy that has 3 DOCG with 2 whites and 1 red. The red is Taurasi, as we said before. So it's a sign of, even if DOCG is not always, as you know, and I'm sure many people explain every day, is not a sign by definition of quality. It's a recognition that has been done to a terroir that is good for both sides, no? For whites, for reds, particularly because of the soils.
What about tourism?
Tourism is...
is that underexploited in your area?
It's
beautiful
growing
area.
A lot. It's growing Campania in general, the airport of Naples is growing some 30% every year incoming. Of course, the most important part of tourism goes on the coast.
Yeah, sure.
And
Amalfi Coast.
Exactly.
Like
Amalfi Coast is 1 hour drive from our winery. Naples is 45 minutes. So we're not far. So we benefit directly, because increasingly people are coming to see our winery. We have on average every year 30,000 guests, of which one third is foreign people from abroad.
300,000 guests, yeah.
30,000.
Oh, you personally?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
No, our winery 30,000, because we also have a Michelin star restaurant inside the winery.
The little secrets are tumbling out now.
So out of these 30,000, 10, 12 goes to the restaurant. 10, 12 are also foreign, mostly from US, Germany, UK. And so we benefit directly, but also indirectly, because there are a lot of people that go to the Amalfi Coast. And after, of course, it's beautiful to have a week of sun, but maybe one day it rains and they want to see something different and they come at the winery. So definitely the tourism is increasing. We have a winery that is very equipped to a welcome guest, but the structure needs to be improved. It's not Tuscany, you know, of course. We don't have the nice agriturismo. We don't have many of them. We need to improve in that area.
Yeah, but maybe it's quite nice, that little bit of rusticity and
imperfection. I like this. We have this
because you get it's like the unexpected. The whole story thing about the holidays. Yeah, how was the holiday? I went to the hotel. It was clean. I did this. The shower work.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be dirty, but still.
Yeah. Sure, I get that. But yeah, you said I went to Campania. It was absolute chaos. But my God, I had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say that because it looks like bad publicity. It doesn't happen every day.
I'll tell my brother-in-law because he's from Avellino. So
no, but you know, when we invite, I remember there was a group from Germany, and there was a guy who was some thief snatched his mobile in Naples. But still, he wanted to come back so many times. No, so he's even if he had a bad accident, which doesn't happen to everybody, he was so excited about it. He said, "I'm so happy! I went to Campania. They snatched my phone. Then we bought another one. So the winery was very nice." So even the sign of everything is a little bit exacerbated. No? And now at a guest house, you have no TV, you have nothing.
Oh, well,
it's a guest house where you really live a little bit outside the world. Now we have 8 rooms, no more than that, just for guests. And I think this is what you said. You said before, it's not dirty, but it's a little bit rustic. Now you want to live this kind of experience.
So you're not going to go back to microfinance then?
No.
Antonio Gabaldo, thanks a lot for coming in and telling us about Fiori di San Gregorio and your other projects. We didn't actually talk a lot about your other projects, so we'll definitely get you back again. I'll probably have to do this outro again. The producer's going to shoot me for getting all my words mixed up. Antonio Gabaldo, thanks very much for coming in today and telling us about Fiori. Is it Fiori di San Gregorio?
Di San Gregorio.
Yeah,
yes.
They've written about it.
It's a Fiori.
Third time lucky. Antonio, just want to say thanks to you, Antonio Gabaldo of Fiori di San Gregorio in Campania. Thanks very much for coming in today and telling us about your pre-wine career, which is. We could do a whole series on that, I think.
I'm not sure it's that exciting.
Yeah, you are. I don't know any Italian that speaks quicker than you in perfect English as you do. But your story is incredible, what you're doing. And I love the idea that you're really seeing wine with the big picture. So it's the memory factor, it's the quality factor, it's the local grapes factor, the tourism factor. It's all very joined up without being kind of boring.
Thanks.
Yeah, you had a big smile there. You're so worried about what my last word was going to be.
There was such an expectation about this last word.
I always really look forward to meeting you and talking to you because I find you incredibly stimulating company. You're a great communicator. You should do my job. You know, I'm a terrible communicator.
So, that's not true.
So you won't earn a huge amount of money.
That's not true.
You know, I've made wine, but I'm a pretty shitty winemaker. So you know, it's not like you could even employ me in your estate. You know,
I'm also pretty much a shitty winemaker. Yeah. So we can switch.
Well, why don't you stick me in the vineyard pruning or something? I don't know. You know. Anyway, Antonio, it's really great to see you. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks. Yeah, that's it.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.